Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute designed to equip believers to defend their faith and live their lives as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do remember our mailing address, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We start today's broadcast with a little cleanup from yesterday. I had a call from Judy in Grass Valley, California, who said her daughter was involved in a group in Portland, Oregon, that says Jesus is not going to return. It is Adam who will return instead. I wasn't absolutely certain what group she was talking about, and so I said I'd do some research and return. And by the way, if you don't know the answer to a question in general, that's what you should always do is research and return, because when you do that, you will be educated and you can use what you have learned in the process of a well-reasoned answer becoming a springboard or an opportunity for sharing the truth and grace and love that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. With that research, I discovered that Judy's daughter may well be connected with a member of the Unification Church. In other words, an organization that's often referred to as the Moonies. And there just happens to be a pretty good enclave of Moonies in that area of the country. There's a Unification Church congregation in West Lynn, Oregon, called Portland Family Church. Now, by way of a little background, the Unification Church was founded by a guy by the name of Reverend Sun Young Moon, who was a self-proclaimed Messiah and who was surrounded by all kinds of controversy. By the way, his background was in the Presbyterian Church, but he strayed far from his original roots, although those roots really taught him how to present the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. In other words, he knew how to use Christian terminology, but use it in a very perverted, cultic way. And in that vein, Moon denied that Jesus is both truly divine and truly human in one person. In fact, according to Moon, Jesus can by no means be called God himself. Rather, Jesus, in his view, was the biological son of Mary and Zacharias. In other words, the father of Jesus, according to Moon, was Zacharias. And of course, Moon often spoke about the coming of another Adam or a third Adam, and that person would be responsible, in his view, to advance the restoration of the ideal of the first Adamic family. Now, the unification heresy is that Jesus fulfilled the spiritual redemption of humanity, but never the physical redemption of humanity. Because, according to Moon, he failed to marry and therefore right the wrongs of the original Adam and Eve. And then his mission, according to the Bible, ends in an untimely death on the cross. So in the Moony view, now a third Adam is required to physically redeem humanity. The three Adams coming from the first Adam, the progenitor of the human race, and then a second Adam, or last Adam, who would have been Jesus if he would have properly fulfilled his mission. But because he did not properly fulfill his mission, there's now a third Adam. Now, one of the things that is so devious about the Moonies is they are taught to mimic the vocabulary of the Bible. So they use biblical terminology, terminology that sounds very genuine, but conveys a completely unbiblical meaning, a meaning that is not in concert in any way, shape, or form with the historic Christian faith. The Moonies are not a church, even though in Portland, Oregon, they designate themselves a church. They're in reality a cult. And I think it's important for all of us to have some sense of what a cult is. In fact, in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, you can find the acronym cults. So I answer the question, what are the characteristics of cults? I can't go through all of that on the broadcast today, but let me just give you the basics in terms of the acronym. The C representing counterfeit. You and I have to be so familiar with essential Christian doctrine that when counterfeits like the Moonies loom on the horizon, we recognize them instantaneously. The U in the acronym always reminds me of unbiblical revelations. All the cults have them. They have revelations that are either used in conjunction with the Bible or that supersede, in their view, the words of the Bible. And these new revelations are common to cults and therefore undermine the main and the plain teachings of the Scripture. And then the L, the linguistic subversions. Cults are notorious for subverting biblical language, and they do that by pouring their own unique meanings into key Christian words and phrases. And therefore, it's important that if you're encountering a cultist, you prepare yourself to scale the language barrier. Again, they use their our language, and they pour their own unique meanings into the words and phrases. The T in my acronym stands for and reminds us of theological perversion. And from a theological perspective, cults, we can call them pseudo-Christian groups that compromise, confuse, or outright contradict the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And so devotees become masters at taking texts out of context in order to develop pretexts for these theological perversions. Now, the S I added to the cult, because there are many cults, but the acronym cult, adding the S, you have cults. The S stands for sociological deviance. From a sociological perspective, a cult, therefore, is a religious or semi-religious sect whose followers are controlled in virtually every dimension of their lives. Now, some cults are more theologically perverse and less sociologically deviant, and some are sociologically deviant and theologically perverse. There are variations depending on the kind of cult you're talking about. But the bottom line is this: when imitations of authentic Christianity loom on the horizon, you can recognize them instantaneously by remembering this acronym, the acronym cults. Again, they're counterfeits. They use unbiblical revelations, linguistic subversions, theological perversions, and oftentimes sociological deviance. And the Bible, of course, talks in essence about cults when Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 says, "I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." And of course, Paul is telling his hearers in Corinth that we ought not to put up with it. We ought to use the deviations as springboards, opportunities to share the truth, the life, the love, the goodness that only the genuine Jesus of the Bible brings to the human heart. He changes our lives. He is the true God. He is true man, true God. He's one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. He is one of the three subjects of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're coming to station break. Do you remember the resources I talk about on the broadcast, including our featured resource of the month, Eat Fast Feast by Jay Richards, available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web, equip.org, or again, write us at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Eat Fast Feast is a book with a plan to promote healing the whole of you, physically and spiritually. If you are confused about when to eat and when to abstain from eating, don't delay. Read today. Hank Hanegraaff did, and the results have been nothing short of transformational for both his body and soul. To receive your copy of Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting by J.W. Richards, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think." And many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
The book Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul is a true gift to Christians eager to grow spiritually as they get healthier physically. What makes this book unique? J.W. Richards draws on the ancient church's centuries-old practice of intermittent fasting as a way of life in Christ unknown to many modern Christians. Most books that promote diets focus solely on the physical. Eat Fast Feast is different because it isn't merely promoting a diet. It's a six-week plan for a powerful paradigm shift and genuinely holistic health that could make this the healthiest year of your life. To receive your copy of Eat Fast Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because questions remain about the earliest moments of the universe, scientists offer speculative alternatives to our universe having an actual beginning. Nevertheless, the science that is known to be true provides abundant evidence that the universe came into being a finite time ago, just as the Bible teaches. Other topics include how Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers, Christian apologetics in a nutshell, John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth Preacher, Christian imagination and the problem of horrendous evil, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and I hope you are in for a little encouragement. We are doing the last broadcast of the first week of the new year. So it's the last broadcast this week because it's Friday. It's the first week of the new year. And I think because it is the first week of the new year, I want to goad you a little bit or motivate you perhaps. Motivate you in the vein of reading the Bible. Lots of people today have little patience for reading the Bible. In fact, some of you may recall that I wrote about this in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. If you have the book, you'll note that I allude to Mere Christianity, where C.S. Lewis tells the story of a hard-bitten Royal Air Force officer who had precious little patience for reading the Bible. Now, why was that? Well, from his perspective, anyone who has experienced God alone in the desert has little need for, well, the rubbish of reading things about God. Now, Lewis made a comment about this. He said, on the one hand, the officer may have had a point. As the territory is more real than the map that portrays it. So an experience with God in the cool of the desert night is far more viscerally authentic than just reading things about him in the Bible. And likewise, looking at the Atlantic Ocean from the vantage of a beach is far more real than merely looking at a map of the Atlantic. But here's what needs to be understood. The map, well, it's based on the experience of thousands of people who've had a real encounter with the Atlantic Ocean. These are not isolated experiences. They're innumerable experiences. And not only that, if you want to go anywhere, a map is absolutely necessary. And the Bible is like that map. While the territory might be more significant than the map nonetheless makes a transcendent difference. Because what it entails is the experience in terms of Scripture, which is our map, the experience of hundreds of people who really were in touch with God. These are experiences compared with which any thrills or pious feelings you and I are likely to get on our own are very elementary and very confused. That's precisely how C.S. Lewis explains it. You're not going to get anywhere by just looking at a map, but you'll likely not get to where you're going without a map. And thus again, while it is true that life matters more than truth, the life that matters more is ultimately dependent on truth. In the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, he says these words. He utters them to his Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. It is not just about truth. It is truth. Hunger for the Word of God has to become for you and I as natural as hunger for food. You don't have to force yourself to become hungry for physical food. Neither should you have to force yourself to become hungry for spiritual food. In the authentic Christian life, that kind of partaking should be as natural as breathing, as natural as the involuntary blinking of your eyes. The tragedy is that all too many suppose that the overcoming life can be achieved apart from the embrace of life practices like reading the Bible, but it can't. Reading the Bible has to become routine, not forced, but regular. And then what starts out as a discipline will become a delight. Now, the Bible can be used in various ways. One of the ways in which I use the Bible is as the basis for my prayer life. I'll give you some examples. I employ Psalm 139 as an expression of my faith in God. Psalm 145 to articulate devotion, my worship, my adoration of God. Psalm 51 in confession. And if you have not taken the time to memorize that psalm, of all the psalms that I use almost daily in my prayers, this one ought to be highlighted. And then there's Psalm 118 for thanksgiving. It can also be, speaking of the Bible, it can also be used devotionally. For example, the book of Proverbs is particularly suited for devotional purposes. But in any case, the Bible must be read. In fact, if you, like the majority of all Christians, have never read through the Bible, you ought to purpose this very moment to do that very thing. Why? Because reading through the Bible may be a daunting proposition, but it's a necessary one. And because it's necessary, I developed the Legacy Reading Plan. It's free of charge. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Download it. But this reading plan, the Legacy Reading Plan, is designed to empower you to eat the elephant one book at a time, to mix a metaphor. The format that I designed is specific to make your time in the Bible the best it can possibly be. The Legacy Reading Plan, well, it's unique in that it requires you to process books of the Bible rather than piecing together bits of books. And the goal at the outset is to comprehend the essence God is communicating by reading each biblical book as a whole. And so what I've done is I've taken the reading calendar and naturally segmented that calendar into seasons and then the seasons into months. The bottom line is this: nothing should take precedence over getting into the Word and getting the Word into us. Why? Because if we fail to eat well-balanced meals on a regular basis, we will eventually suffer physical consequence. And in like manner, if we do not regularly feed on the Word of God, we're going to suffer spiritual consequences. We must draw upon God's boundless store of grace from day to day as we need it. You know, when you eat, you can't say, well, I'm going to eat for a month's worth. You can't do that. The same thing is true with the Word of God. We must daily partake of the Word of God. And that's why I say in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, that the church is not only a Eucharistic assembly, but the church is also a spiritual gymnasium. It's a place in which we are called to gymnasize ourselves into godliness. That's exactly what Paul says. Gymnasize yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Well, I hope you're motivated to get into the spiritual disciplines. Getting into the Word of God, getting the Word of God into you is one of them. Of course, it must always be augmented with prayer. And as in the featured book for this month, fasting. Those three are so important: prayer, scripture, and fasting. And to that end, we have as the featured resource for this month, J. Richards' monumental book, a book that has made a transcendent, transformational difference in my life. It's titled Eat, Fast, Feast: Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul. It's really a Christian guide to fasting. All of the objections are overcome. It talks about Christ's teaching with respect to fasting, his modeling of fasting, what the apostles taught, what the apostolic fathers taught, what the holy fathers taught, what was taught in the early church, and what we must regain in the modern church as well, if we're going to be not impotent, but powerful to change the culture. Out of time for this week's editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to being right back here next week with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Like millions concerned about their health, Hank Hanegraaff had never really known which diet plan to trust. But he's found the secret to healing the whole of you, body, soul, and spirit. Eat, Fast, Feast: Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us. Eat, Fast, Feast outlines a plan found in the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive Eat, Fast, Feast: Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, a Christian guide to fasting, simply visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.